I'd like to say again, I appreciate the good songs today. I know that it's hard for us when death takes our loved ones away, but I thought about Brother Woosley. I had the privilege of hearing Brother David Woosley's testimony, and I'm convinced that, and I thought about him and what he had told me when we sung that song today. I believe that just recently that the Lord just came and got him by the hand and took him home. And that's what happens to the saints when they die. The Lord just comes and gets us and leads us across that river and takes us home to be with God. Paul said to live as Christ. Now, this is for the person that's ready, the person that's saved. He said to live as Christ, to die is gain. And so, you know, the loss that is in death for those who are ready for the journey, that loss is left with those who had to watch them go. But we don't lose anything when we die. I agree, Brother Jackson. I'm looking forward to being home with the Lord as well. What a great and grand time that'll be for those who are saved. I want to call your attention to some scripture in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And again, I ask an interest in your prayers today. And I want to ask again the church today, those who are here today that already know the Lord, I want to ask you to pray for those who don't. Pray for those who are lost. But in the 10th chapter of the Gospel, according to Luke, in the first verse, and I'm going to read the first verse, and then I'm going to skip down a ways in the chapter and read just a few more verses. Luke chapter 10, verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face, into every city and place whither he himself would come. Verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, I will encourage you to read those verses in between verse 1 and verse 17. Sometime you sit down and you read those and read the specifics of what happened. But these two verses tell us generally what took place. The Lord sent them out. He sent out these 70 two by two into places where he himself was going to come. And it tells us what happened. When they returned, it tells us what happened while they were gone. They returned with joy and told him that the devils were subject unto them through his name. And Jesus, in verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, I don't know how you view that or believe what he said, but I believe that what Jesus was saying there was that he beheld this while they were out, while they were doing that. And they told him with great joy that even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And I believe that Jesus was telling them something that he saw while this was going on. And he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Now that seems like somewhat of an odd statement. They came back. When you read that, I think if we don't properly understand what Jesus was saying, we could almost think that if we were to have a wonderful service here today, a Spirit-filled service, and good things were to happen, and we were to witness God doing good things. It almost sounds like he was telling us, well, don't be happy about it. Don't rejoice about it. But I don't believe that's what Jesus was really telling them. That's not when he said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. He wasn't telling them not to be happy about those things, but he was teaching them a contrast here. And so, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And so what he was telling them was don't let what you have witnessed, what you have seen through this power, don't let that be the height of your rejoicing. There's something greater to rejoice in than that. And that is that your names are written in heaven. Now I want to read one more verse, if you would turn with me to the 16th Psalm, which is 11 verses long, and I'd like to read verse 11, the last verse of Psalm 16. I would also like to read it along with these verses from Luke 10. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I'd like to continue. Last week, I tried to speak to you about being a Christian. And I would like to continue that today about being a Christian. Last week, I spoke about the things that the Scriptures tell us are required of us in order to be a Christian. And the thought that the Lord has put upon my heart today to speak about is the great joy of being a child of God. The great benefits of being a child of God. I believe that you and I today that are saved, we have great reason to be the most joyful people in all the world. To be the happiest people in all the world. And, sadly enough, and I want to speak about some of these things today, but sadly enough, we live in a world filled with people that they've got all of the wrong ideas about what it means to have fun, about what it means to be happy. Now, I'm going to say this today, and you've heard me get up here and preach about this, and you've heard other preachers preach about this, about trying to live your life for God is not always an easy thing to do. It's very challenging because we have to fight our own flesh, and we have to fight peer pressure and all types of things that the world will impose upon us. And so, and plus we face, like everyone else, we face those things, those difficult things in life that are common to all people. We have troubles and trials in life. But despite all that, there is great joy in being a child of God. And I have fun. If you want to use that word, I have great fun serving the Lord. I want you to know I'm having a good time. I mean, I'm having a great time spending my time in this life trying to serve the Lord. And yesterday, I got to attend a great ordination service. I told you already this morning, these three young men that I've known, two of them, I remember when they were born and known them their whole life. And I got up yesterday, well, let me back up just a little bit. I drove up a little bit early, and I was driving up there. I got up at 3 a.m. Thursday morning and left, got ready and left, and I was driving up to Indianapolis I went up a couple days early. I had the privilege of being with my sons and some and my daughter and some of my grandchildren. But Saturday we had the ordination service. But on the way up there, I had a gospel tape in, and I was listening to that singing. Driving down 65 north there, I guess I should say driving up 65 north there, but you know, the Lord just came right there in my truck and blessed me. I mean, isn't that something? That's happened to me a lot of times. I know it's happened to you a lot of times. I mean, I was going 70, because you all know I wouldn't speed, but I was going 70 mile an hour down the interstate, and you know what? Nobody else could have just jumped in the truck with me, could they? But the Lord just showed up right there and just gave me a great big blessing. And I mean, I had a wonderful time. And, I'll tell you what, folks, listen, and I want you young people to especially to know this today, because this has already been mentioned here this morning. The devil will lie to you. He has been telling people lies ever since people have been on earth. He lied to the very first people on earth. He came there to Eve. Brother Dallas mentioned this morning in his good Sunday school lesson. The devil came to Eve there and he told her a lie. I mean, he flat out lied to her. And he will lie. The point was made was that Satan will lie to you even about things that God has said. In fact, actually, those are the things more than anything that he will lie to you about. The things that God has said. He doesn't want you to believe anything that God says. In my lifetime, I know that he has told me a lot of lies. Have you ever had the devil tell you a lie and listen to him? I have. I wish I could say I never had, but I have. I've had the devil sit right now next to me and tell me a lie, and I would listen to him. I hate to confess it, don't you? I mean, I hate to confess it, but I have had the Lord move up on my heart to do something or say something, and the devil come right behind me and tell me not to, and I listen to the devil. I've been guilty of that. I hate to admit that, but it's the truth, and God knows it's the truth. Have you ever done that? Have you ever listened to the devil rather than listen to God? God tell you to do something, the devil come and tell you not to do it, and you listen to the devil rather than the Lord? It's pitiful, isn't it? I mean, it's pitiful that we would do that, but we sure been guilty of it. But he lies. He's a liar. He's the father of lying. He's the father of lies. When he speaks, the Bible says, Jesus, in fact, said when he speaks a lie, speaks of his own because he's a liar. There's no truth in him. He tells lies. And I remember that when I was a young person and the Lord was dealing with my heart and I knew I was lost and I knew that I needed to be saved, just as sure as God through his love and his spirit with great compassion would draw me to him, the devil would come to me and he would tell me lies trying to get me not to give in to the Lord. That ever happened to any of you? I bet it did. He works on all of us that way. And we have to remember and we have to understand that the devil is very good at what he does. Now, I don't want that to be misunderstood. There's nothing good about him, but he is effective at what he does. He's cunning. He's subtle. He's sly. He knows, how to, I believe we can see that with the way that he knew how to get to Adam, didn't he? Amen. He knew that his best shot at Adam was to go through Eve, and he knows how to do those things, and he's got this wicked knowledge of things and knows how to approach us. But you can be sure that what he's going to tell you is a lie. And he has told people that many times people that were being dealt with by God, that were right on the verge of what they needed to do, of going to the Lord and seeking Him for salvation and just, you know, repenting of sin and turning away from that and turning to God and seeking God for salvation, which, you know, if they got it, would be the greatest thing they ever had. And then the devil will come and he will speak to them and he'll tell them things like, but, you know, if you become one of those Christians, boy, you're going to miss out on fun, and you're going to miss out on this, and you're going to miss out on that, and your friends are not going to have anything to do with you, and just whatever he can do to distract you from turning to God. That's what he'll tell you. You've heard people, I'm sure you've heard people relate their experience before and talk about the fact that the devil would try to convince them that if they came up front of the church to the mourner's bench in front of people and got down to pray, that they would embarrass themselves, or that the people would think badly of them or laugh at them or something like that. I mean, friends, listen, he will tell you anything to keep you away from God. You know, and he won't give up on you even after you get saved, will he? I mean, even after you're saved, he'll come and he'll attack you. You can be sure of this. If the devil was willing to attack the Lord Jesus Christ and try to turn him from God, you can bet he'll come after us. You can bet he'll tempt us. And he will tell Christian people, you know, listen, if you walk that if you walk that rigid line, those things that the scriptures tell us to that we need to do, the way we need to live our lives, you know, once we've been saved, the devil will say, listen, if you try to live that Christian life, you're not going to have any fun. You're not going to have friends. You better lighten up a little bit. You better slack off a little bit, and you better be willing to do, you know, some things that your friends want you to do if you want to be accepted. But I want to tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, if you've got somebody, if they are trying to tell you that you have to give up something that you believe is a godly principle in order to be accepted of them, that person is not your friend. A friend loveth at all times, under all situations. A friend, if you've got a person that's a true friend, a friend will accept you for who you are. They won't try to get you to do something that's against your beliefs and your principles. So be careful. Be careful in that way, because, you know, a lot of people have been misled and led astray by somebody they thought was their friend, haven't they? And so the devil is a liar. The greatest thing, I'm going to say this again, the greatest thing that could ever happen to anybody is to be saved by God's grace. There's nothing in life. You know, we're born into this world, and when we come into this world, the Lord only knows what's going to transpire through our lives. The Lord only knows what roads we're going to take, what our travels, what our journey will be like, what we may encounter along the way. But there's nothing that can happen to anybody that will compare to finding the Lord, being saved. There's no greater way to spend your time in this world than living your life for God. I mean, there's nothing that you can do that's more fulfilling. There's nothing that you can do that's more worthwhile. There's nothing that you can do that will give to you eternal reward as serving the Lord, spending your time for God, and living your life for His honor and His glory. Yesterday at the ordination, I had the privilege, and I want you to know that that's exactly what it felt like to me. It felt like a great privilege. I stood up before this young man, Brother Jeremy York, who I have known ever since he came into this world, had the privilege to stand before him to interrogate him about the scriptures. And when I got up there, the Lord blessed me again. I mean, I just felt wonderful. The Lord began, you know, we sing about precious memories, and the Lord began, as I looked around at many of the young people that were there in that, you know, at that church, at that service that I've known since they came into the world, and to see them serving God the way that they were. What a great blessing. I mean, what a wonderful thing to experience. You know, we raise our children by faith, don't we? I mean, they come into this world, and we have this great responsibility upon us, and we try to do the best that we can. There's no such thing as a perfect child, and there's no such thing as a perfect earthly parent. We just try to do the best that we can, and we try to instruct them the way that we can. I told the people there yesterday, I saw my son, my youngest son, Jeremy, there, moderating the ordination, serving the Lord. And I related to them about there was a period of time there through his teenage years that I just really wondered which way this young man was going to go. I tried to do the best I could to instruct him and lead him in the way that I believed God would have him to go. But there were many days, I'll tell you, many days, folks, that my wife and I had to get down on our knees and we had to pour our hearts out before God, praying for him. Because I'll tell you what, you can teach them all that you can, but you better pray for your kids, because God can lead them in paths. God can do things for them that you never will get accomplished. And so, what a joy it is to serve the Lord. I'm having a good time here this morning. I got to tell you, I like what I feel. I love being here. I was excited to come here. I wanted to come here this morning. I'm not here today, and I believe that it is my duty today to be here, but I want you to know, and I say this with a true heart today. I'm not here today just because I'm obligated. I wanted to come here today. I woke up this morning excited about being here, excited about having the opportunity to try to preach the Word of God again, excited to come and assemble with my brothers and sisters, anticipating that we might begin to sing songs and praise the Lord, and the Spirit of God would show up among us and begin to bless us and begin to make us feel that invisible presence that we feel so many times, that maybe I might hear somebody just lose their dignity and begin to shout the praises of God and anticipate those things. Folks, that is what I love. And that's where I want to be. There's a lot of things to do in Bowling Green this morning. You know what? The devil has seen to it that you can do just about anything now on Sunday, hadn't he? I mean, hardly anybody closes anything anymore. Where not that many years ago, things used to be shut down on the Lord's Day. But now in our society, you can just do just about anything that you want to do on that day. There's a lot you could be out doing this morning, but I'll tell you what, I'd just rather be right here. I just bear right here with you folks, you know, trying to serve the Lord and honor the Lord. I remember Brother Doss, I believe it was last year perhaps at our revival, I remember in a testimony that he gave, and I love the simplicity of it and the way that he said it, but he was talking about people saying that very thing, that if you become a Christian, you'll miss out on things and you won't have any fun. And he said, I'm having a good time. Don't you have a good time? Amen. Serving the Lord? Amen. You know, I've only got one hobby, really. I mean, I guess something that you call a hobby, and I think most of you know, I like to fish. And I really like to go crappie fishing. And I had I went up early. I had the opportunity to meet up with both of my sons. Hadn't got to do that in a long time, to meet up with both of my sons. And we had a day together where we did that. We went out and we went fishing. And you know, I was out there and we were on this pier. We were out on this pier that goes out on the lake a good ways. And we're out there fishing. And I got a hold of this big old crappie. You know, I'm a lot better fisherman than either one of them. But I got a hold of this big old crappie. And I mean, he was probably, you know, 12 or 13 inches. And he was a big fish. And I got him up there. And I had that thing lifted out of the water. And you know what? They fell right off. Fell right off the hook and went right back in the water. He was probably like, you know, what I say, 12 or 13? Probably like 14 or 15 inches long. And boy, I tell you what, it's hard to lose a fish like that. But let me tell you something. I honestly wanted to make a point in that, because with everything we do in this life, I told the preachers up in Indianapolis one time, and some of you here, I think I've told you this before, but I told the preachers up there in Indianapolis one time that they needed to quit playing golf and go fishing, because that's scriptural for a preacher. I mean, they were fishermen. You know, Jesus, when he came there after his resurrection to those preachers, he didn't ask them if they had golf balls. He asked them if they had fish. And so I told those brethren that. And so, but listen, at everything we do, my point is this. If you have a hobby, something that you enjoy doing, at everything we do, there's a way in it to lose. You can lose a big fish. Or you can lose time. There's a way to lose in all of it. But you know what? I have never lost anything by serving the Lord. Amen. Nothing. Everything that you give to God. And you know, don't we just do the small things, really? I believe another scripture that's already been mentioned here this morning. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. When you do that, when you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, when you're not conformed to this world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, if you do that and you stand and boast and you say, look what I have done for God, I have gone way beyond the call of duty, you're going to be lying. Because the Bible says, God in His Word says that to do that is just our reasonable service to the Lord. There are people today, sadly enough, there are many people in the world today. Some of them will do this today. Some of them will do this tomorrow. Some will do it Tuesday and throughout the whole week. Every day of this week, I'll just about guarantee you this. There's going to be somebody somewhere in this world that they're going to get a bottle of liquor. They're going to drink it until they get blind drunk. They're going to be at a party or something like that where people are drinking and indulging in all these things. And they're going to do those things, and they're going to wake up the next morning and they're going to feel miserable. Their body's going to feel miserable, and they're not going to have benefited themselves or anybody else spiritually in any way, but they're going to do those worldly things like that. And you know what? While they're doing them, and even after they do them, they'll tell people how good a time they had. Isn't that true? Boy, I had a great time. You know, I went to that party. I went there and, you know, I had a few drinks. And the next thing I know, I got blind drunk and I didn't know what was going on. And I made a complete fool of myself. Oh, what a good time I had. I'll tell you more about it when I can get rid of this pounding headache and this horrible sickness that's in my stomach. But boy, I had a great time. That's not how people have fun. The devil may convince people that that kind of thing is fun, but I'll tell you what, folks, if you want to have a good time in this life, you remember the Lord in the days of your youth, you seek Him and find Him while you're young. I know that all of us are not fortunate to do that, and so you find Him whenever, whatever age in life, but the Bible says, remember Him in the days of your youth. And if you'll do that, you'll seek the Lord and you'll be saved and you'll spend your time for God. And if you won't listen to the devil that tells you that you ought to forsake this and forsake that so you can go out and drink or do some kind of worldly thing and have a lot of fun, don't listen to that stuff. Don't listen to your peers that tell you that you need to do that. You stick with God, and I promise you, when you become old, I promise you that you're going to look back and you're going to say, yes, that was the right thing to do. Yes, I don't have any regrets in trying to serve the Lord. Folks, I've got regrets. I've got regrets that I haven't served Him better. I've got regrets about the ways that I've let Him down. But I don't regret one minute. Not one minute. I don't regret one time that I ever made an attempt to try to preach the Lord's word. I regret the failures I've had in it, but I don't regret the fact of doing it for the Lord. Not one thing. Joy. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. When you come here, I mean, think about it. How do you feel today? Is there somewhere else you'd rather be? Is there something else you'd rather be doing? When you come here, when we come together, when we have, folks, we ought to consider this, what we have here today, we ought to consider this a blessed privilege that we have to be here today. We ought to consider it a great privilege that here in our nation that we still have the freedom to meet this way, that your pastor can stand before you today and preach from the dictates of his own conscience what he believes from the Word of God without being arrested for that. We ought to thank God that we have had this and that we still have it today. And when we come here and we worship like this and we begin to feel that presence of the Holy Spirit of God, whoo, don't that make you feel good? I mean, doesn't that do something great for you? I know it sure does for me. Man, that puts a feeling down in my heart that nothing has ever matched. I mean, I've never experienced anything like the blessings of God. Well, I'd rather have Jesus than silver. I told you to remember that song. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Him than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd just rather be led by His nail-scarred hands. I'd rather have Him to be the king of a vast domain. Let me tell you something, folks, that's scriptural. I can tell you about somebody that happened to. His name was Solomon. He was the king of a vast domain. And you know what he said? He said, I did a little bit of everything. I got me a great orchestra. I got me musicians. I got me men singers. I got me women singers. Whatever my eye saw, I did not withhold that from them. Solomon, he accomplished the building up of a great kingdom, and he was surrounded by all of these things, and in the end of it all, he said, well, I've seen all of this. I've planted vineyards and I've got musicians and singers and all of these things. And if I saw it and my eyes desired it, I got it. Surrounded myself with all of these lush worldly things. And you read the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes And he said, well, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. To fear God and to keep His commandments is the whole duty of man. You know what, folks, listen, those of us who are children of God, those of us who are saved, part of His church, we're not here to build worldly empires. We're not here to become rich. We're not here to surround ourselves with all the riches of life and to, you know, to sit on a fluffy pillow and we're not here for health, wealth, and prosperity. God didn't leave us here for that. He left us here to serve Him. He left us here to honor Him. He left us here to do His work. He left us here to reach other people and to tell them about Jesus and tell them what they need to do to be saved. And God will come and bless us when we do those things. Folks, He will bless you to the point where you will be able to proclaim with a true and an honest heart, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'll tell you what, if you've been saved today and you have the privilege of being a part of His church, if there's something that you would rather be than what you are, you better get things right with God. Because we ought to be content just to be His people. I'll tell you what, when Jesus Christ came here, and He owned it all, friends, He owned it all. It was His, it was at His disposal, it was at His beckoning if He wanted it, but you could not interest Him in the things of this world for anything. You couldn't. He came here, I mean, isn't it an amazing thought that Jesus came here into this world, the very Son of God, God in the flesh, that He came here in this world and was just born among the common people? Never surrounded Himself with the riches and lavish things of this life. Never. Lived. There was a time in the life of Jesus when someone came to Him and was told Him that they were going to dwell with Him that night. And He said, well, you know, the foxes, they've got holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay His head. I mean, He went through this life with nothing, and you couldn't interest Him. The devil tried as hard as he could to interest Him in the temporal things of this life. He just couldn't, you couldn't interest Jesus in those things. And it's a shame. It's a shame. It really is. It's a shame when His people are distracted by those things. He didn't want it to be that way. The last thing He wanted us to be was worldly minded. You know, the things that we have here, they're just on loan from God. We can just use them while we're here. But I'm glad today. I am thankful today to be His child. I'm content just to be a preacher. I'm content to dwell with you folks here today that know the same thing that I know. That makes me happy. When God shows up and we feel the presence of His Spirit, I've never had a better time doing anything. Doing anything than serving the Lord. I want to say this today before we have a song. If you're here and you're lost, I want to encourage you today to turn to God and to seek Him for salvation, because you will never find anything in this life that's any better than knowing the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. So let's stand. I appreciate your attention today. I just hope that in my weak effort, I hope that something was said to help somebody in some way.